2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's take a few moments tonight, just a few, and deal with this much relevant topic. The Apostle Paul says, verse 14, "Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you." What a great statement. I don't want what you have. I'm interested in you. "For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps?" Again, "Think you that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. But we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed." Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and please, Father, fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Thank you for the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. To provide some context to this passage of scripture, let's first examine its author. We understand that ultimately all scripture is given by inspiration of God, but that he used human writers to pen the scripture. Directly, this passage was written by the Apostle Paul. He's the author. Paul was a Christian. Paul was a preacher. Paul was an apostle. Paul was a missionary. Paul was a church planner. He went to the city of Corinth against popular demand. It would not have been a very easy church in which to plant a church, and yet it was a city where God was interested. By the way, God is still interested in all people. And there were sinners in Corinth, but God is interested in sinners, all kinds of sinners. And by the way, he's still interested in all kinds of sinners. And so Paul goes to Corinth on the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. This is the voice of God. I have much people in this city. They weren't saved, but God said they'll get saved. They'll get baptized, and I'll build a church there. By the way, if God built a church in Corinth, God can build a church anywhere. And he did. As a matter of fact, it wasn't a shabby church. It is said of the church in Corinth that the testimony of Christ was confirmed in them. As a matter of fact, you could enter that assembly of believers and sense who Jesus was. It is said that they came behind in no gift. All of the spiritual gifts that God made available to the local church, they were practiced and demonstrated through the power of the Holy Spirit in the city of Corinth. So these were people who, before they were met with the gospel, live wicked, vile lives. Chapter 6, "And such were some of you, but now you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified." Aren't you glad that when Jesus comes into your life, he transforms it? And so they got saved. And they didn't just make professions of faith, they had transformations in their lives. And all of a sudden they're living for God. All of a sudden they're changed. All of a sudden they're transformed. All of a sudden they're not worshiping idols, they're worshiping God. They're not living in a way of thievery or fornication. They're not living in a way of adultery. They're living for God. They're honoring their marriage. They're living for God in a way that pleases him, and the world could tell. So there's an intimacy with the Apostle Paul in this church, because for 18 months he spent time in this city. He got attached to these people. They were a part of him. He was a part of them. And after he had planted the church and spent time there, he moved on and kept on going with where God was leading him. And now in the book of 2 Corinthians, he picks up his pen and says, "I'm ready to come the third time. I've been gone, but I still care about you. I spent 18 months with you. I watched God change your life. Many people were sitting in that church. Paul was there when they got saved. He shared the gospel with them. He led them to the Lord. He watched those God haters. He watched those adulterers. He watched those fornicators turn their lives around, purify themselves. He watched them get passed from death unto life, and they meant something to him. I'm coming back. And I'm telling you, every time I've ever come, everything I've ever done, I've done for your benefit. I never tried to take advantage of you. I never tried to exploit you. I never sought gain from you. I sought one thing, was to see you live for God. And when I couldn't come and I sent somebody else in my absence, I sent somebody else that had a heart like I had, and he didn't try to take advantage of you. He didn't try to exploit you. He said, we won't see you saved, see you baptized, see you discipled, and see you go reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm coming back. But as I plan to get back there, if God will allow me, he says, I'm worried about what I'll find when I arrive. He makes the statement in verse number 20. I fear. That wasn't something that Paul said very often. In chapter 11, let's just look at how fearless he was. Chapter 11, I'll show you how fearless he was. Verse 23. He was in labors more abundant. He was in stripes above measure. He was in prison frequent. He was in death often, almost lost his life. One time we believe he did. At Lystra, God raised him back to life. Verse 24, five times he received 40 stripes, save one. Verse 25, three times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned. Thrice he suffered shipwreck. A night and a day he spent out in the deep in the middle of nowhere. Are you listening to me? In journeys often, in perils of water, out in the water, all kinds of peril. Perils, he was robbed. The next verse, perils by my own countrymen. People that were his kinfolk messed him up. Perils by the heathen. People that were lost messed him up. Perils in the city. When he was in town, he hit perils. When he was out in the woods, in the wilderness, he hit perils. When he was out at the water, he hit perils. When he was among false brethren that taught heresy, he was in perils. He was weary, worn down. He was in pain. His body was aching. He was in watching, looking for his life. Hungry, couldn't find food. Thirsty, nothing to drink. Fasting, trying to get a hold of God. In the cold, without clothes, beside those things, that which cometh upon him daily, the care of the church. I want to tell you, this brother was going through it. By the way, it makes you feel real guilty about complaining, doesn't it? And not one time. And being stoned and being bitten, beaten and being robbed and being shipwrecked and fasting and being naked and being out in the cold. Not one time did Paul ever face a trial where he said he was in fear. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, I'm not afraid of stones. I'm not afraid of whips. I'm not afraid of rods. I'm not afraid of jail. I'm not afraid of boats that wreck. I'm not afraid of getting robbed. I'm not afraid of going into any city and having crazy folk take advantage of me. I'm not afraid of that. What I am afraid of is that I will come back to a place that is known as the body of Christ that I've established through the Holy Spirit of God, and I will enter that assembly where Christ is supposed to be the head. And when I enter that assembly amongst people of God who've been saved by the same Spirit, washed in the same blood, headed to the same heaven, and reading the same word of God, listen to me, I come into that place, here's what I fear. That there are interpersonal problems that have crept into the church of God, and the devil is seeking to destroy God's body from the inside out. And he said, that scares me. So tonight, for a few moments, rather quickly, I want to preach a message entitled, Some Things We All Ought to Fear. I think if we were to go around the auditorium tonight, I think we could talk about spiders and snakes and birds. Yeah, I'm afraid of birds. I'm preaching this message. Cats? Anybody? No. Nobody afraid of cats? Thank you. Come on, put your hand up. Thank you. The only cat I like is a dead cat. All right. I think we'd all have some phobias. Come on now. Heights? Anybody?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, you in on that one? All right. He like birds, but he don't like heights. Well, guess where birds hang out? Up high. kill two birds with one stone. Amen. We can talk about all those things. If I were to ask you what you're afraid of, you would tell me that because of your fear, you avoid them. Now, I'll tell you why. There are many people that are Christians who are involved in these things that Paul said are detrimental for the church. They don't fear them enough. And if you feared them enough, you'd stay away from them. Right. Now, let me tell you something. The Bible said the gates of hell should not destroy this church. God said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Tell you why you can't destroy the church. It's built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the devil can't destroy this church, but you can. From the outside in, he would love to destroy this church, but we are guarded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Churches are not typically getting destroyed by the devil from the outside. They're getting destroyed by nonsense on the inside. And Paul said, I'll fear. Let me give you these things quickly and I'll let you go home. Number one, debates. He said, I fear quarrels of such nature that they shatter friendships. Taking notes, here's what I fear. I fear that in the church, two people that love God and gonna live forever with God in a place called heaven ain't friends no more because of a debate. Somebody help me preach. If you say amen, I might go quicker. Do you know people who can't get along anymore because of a debate? Now, it's not that the debate couldn't be resolved. It's that the people weren't willing to resolve it. The Bible's told us what to do when we have an ought. When we have an offense, oh, pastor, I know people like that. What's the best thing I can do? Not be one of them? You got something to happen between you and somebody you haven't dealt with? You haven't got enough spiritual guts to say, I need to talk to you? We need to get together. We need to work this thing out. Why? What's the big deal? You go my way, your way, I'll go my way. We're saved. We don't have to get along. Listen to me. The cause of Christ is at stake. Falsely, that scares me. Scares me, I'm going to come to the church that I spent 18 months planting. And I sent credible men in my place to help sustain. He said, I'm not worried about getting shipwrecked. I'm not worried about getting stoned. Let them lock me up and threaten to cut my head off. God will fight my battles. What I'm worried about is going to the place that God says is responsible for reaching the world and find out they can't reach the world because they can't get along. Debates. If you got something, some disagreement that you have not settled, you are potentially aiding the destruction of the body of Christ if you refuse to resolve it. Let the church say amen. Secondly, envyings. An insidious jealousy over what others have or are doing. You think jealousy goes on in church? Well, pastor, what make you think jealousy goes on in church? Because church made up of people. And people that are not led by the Holy Spirit of God will, without even trying, become jealous. Jealous of what? Jealous of what people have. How do I know if I'm jealous if you can't rejoice when they get it? Somebody help me preach. Somebody stand up and testify and get something. You mad you didn't get it? You got a jealousy problem. No, I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm just trying to get in your business. Now, I'm trying to tell you, you don't have to be blessed to get happy about a blessing. Amen. Amen. You don't have to make some money to get happy somebody else did.
That's right.
Amen. You don't have to be able to sing to enjoy somebody else's singing.
That's right.
You don't have to be a good teacher to enjoy somebody else's. Come on now. You don't have to have the gift to rejoice that God gave it to somebody. We're all on the same team.
Come on.
Be thankful for what you got. Now, jealousy says, I kind of would wish I had something like it. The proverb says, who can stand before envy? Wrath and anger is cruel, but who is able to stand before envy? Because envy is worse than jealousy. Jealousy, I'd kind of, well, that's a nice suit. What color is that? Gray. I'm slightly colorblind. Thank you. You could have said blue, and I'd have said, well, praise the Lord for that blue suit. But anyway, thank you for being honest. Well, that's a nice one. I sure would like to have me blue suit like that. That's jealousy. Envy said, I want your suit. Jealousy said, well, I don't ever get to sing. I wish I could get to sing more. Why don't I ever get to sing? That's jealousy. Envy said, I want that song. Don't get quiet on me. Your silence will indict you. Now, if we're not, listen, jealousy's in all of us if we don't kill that flesh. So don't stop acting like, well, I'm glad he said it's just envying. I can just take a break on this one. This doesn't apply to me. That's all right. We should put honesty in the group. Being honest about the fact you envy. Envy! By the way, it's easy to hide. Hide like you're really concerned. You're following people and following what they're doing. And in on everything that's going on in their life. Because you're obsessed with being them. Can I tell you, more than what you want to be, God knows who you need to be. God made you who you're supposed to be. And he never made somebody and looked at it later and said, oops, I made a mistake. Somebody say amen. So debates. Go get your problem fixed with somebody. Get it right. They don't want to listen to me. Do your part. Envying. Stop getting worried about what everybody else is doing. Worry about yourself. Number three, wrath. You think people in the church could just fly off the handle? Just lose it. I wasn't planning on it, but I just had to give them peace in my mind. You might have given them the peace that you should have used to employ not giving them that peace. Did you miss what I'm saying? Sometimes you can't afford to give your mind away. You need to use it to think so you won't lose your temper. Amen. Wrath is an outburst of anger that could even lead to mentally contemplating murder. Put wrath away from you. It's an explosion of anger. Don't answer. But I'm going to ask. Okay, just keep your head. Don't move your head. You can give it away, nothing. Just stay still and play it off. Hey, you've been so mad with another Christian, you just couldn't control yourself. Maybe you didn't come to church because you couldn't come. You couldn't see Jesus if you saw them first. Oh, I'm just so frustrated. Don't put me in the same ministry. Don't set me in the same row. I ain't sitting in the same section. And God forbid we get caught in the bathroom at the same time. They walk in, I've been finished, but I'm going to stay in the stall. Now we laughing, but there's saved folk that avoid other saved folk because they got wrath problem. But what's the big deal? The big deal is this is God's church. And there's no room for that junk in your trunk. Wrath. Christian people, I've seen Christian folk. They could teach a class on not anger management, but anger. Paul said, that scares me. How are we in the same family and got outburst of anger? Sudden outburst, where they come out of nowhere. Watch out for these little quiet Christians. They don't say nothing. All right, push them. Boom, shakalakala. They've been saving up. Watch it now. Paul said, that scares me. Somebody say amen. I'm getting there. I'm going to go quickly. Strifes. Write down in your notes, factions. Now hear the description of this. To cut into pieces what was meant to be a whole. Pastor, that doesn't give me a really good definition of strife. Okay, let me give you one that'll work with you. Cliques. You think churches could have cliques? What's a click? Well, it ain't the sound that it make when you hang up on somebody. That's not what I'm talking about. It's I got my group, you got your group. You stay out of mine, and I'll stay out of yours. We have functions. We invite who we want to invite to it and make sure you don't tell somebody else. Watch it now. By the way, you say I don't have a click. You could be clickish by refusing to scoot over when a visitor walks in the church. Well, this is my seat. How much did you pay for? This God's church. Just be glad you're in the building. Shame on a child of God so cliquish they're not going to let somebody have their seat. Boy, I feel for ushers sometimes in churches. You know, pastors watch everything. I don't know about every other pastor, but this one does. And you come walking in, you look at some trouble, you're like, I know he ain't coming to my room. Could you scoot over? No. Could you let some people in? Do you see the other pew? Clickish. Amen. I don't want anybody in my row. You don't have a row. Whose row? They're all Jesus' rows. Amen. I mean, let's get somewhere we can get under the sound of the word of God. If I'm on that row or that row, or if I'm standing up, bless God. Just let me hear the word of God. We having something, don't we? You didn't invite him. Watch this now. How do I know if I'm clickish? If you have to know who's going to be there before you come. Pastor, I thought you said you're going to hurry. I'm just trying to tell you, if this fearless man in chapter 11 who didn't flinch at anything was flinching in chapter 12, I reckon I'll just flinch with him. Mm-hmm. We had a lady years ago, a girl in our church, she brought her mom to Sunday school time and I was preaching. Her mom, every time I got on something good, she said, This would be right about a good time for her to say, huh? Something that God ain't for clicks. Somebody gotta make some noise, y'all so quiet. Listen, like Tyreek's testimony, it gets better. Well, my message, it gets worse. All right now? Backbitings. Too subtly. Watch this now. Subtly slander or defame someone. To be crafty and inconspicuous in running somebody down. I said crafty. They may not even know you're running them down because you're so busy smiling. But you're smiling because you can see them. But you're trashing them when you can't. Paul said, that scares me. Did you backbite anybody this week? Don't move your head. Have you ever been guilty of backbiting? Everybody say yes. Yes. Okay, thank you. By the way, watch this.
I ain't backbiting, it's true.
Isn't it amazing how many things we say God said? Just like the Bible said, God works in mysterious. That's not in the Bible.
That's right. That's right.
Just like the scripture said, charity begins at home. That's not in the Bible.
That's right.
Just like God said, God don't like ugly. That's not in the Bible. I believe it though. Just don't quote God on it. I've heard Christian people say, do you know the Bible says if you commit suicide, you're going to hell? Who said that?
Come on now.
Well, my grandma almost, your grandma not Jesus. You're going to hell if you're not saved.
Right.
Well, no saved person would commit suicide. Well, I've seen some saved people do a lot of stuff I didn't think they should have done. But they didn't get saved because of what they did. They got saved because of what Jesus did. Man, it's not backbiting as long as it's true. Listen, you should never relish in running somebody's character down. I don't care who they are. I get people calling me all the time. Have you heard? Nope, don't want to. It's backbiting. What's after backbiting? Whispering. Everybody goes. Now here's the definition of whisper. That which you say about someone that you would not say if he were present. You already get nervous, aren't you? I'm not going to say nothing about you. Not now. I'll whisper it to my wife later. No, I'm just kidding. By the way, here he goes. Everybody say, here he goes. Whenever you say, here he goes, pastor's getting ready to talk about what? What did he say? Social media. Am I that predictable? I keep telling you I'm not against social media, just like I'm not against television. But I'm against the misuse of either.
That's right.
Social media has given people another way to whisper.
Wow. Yes, sir. Come on.
Preach, Pastor.
Go ahead.
Preach it. Preach it, Pastor. Preach, Pastor.
Thank you. Who's that? That's Mr. Rottweiler social media. And then when you see him, it's Mr. Chihuahua. Did anybody hear what I say? They bad with them finger. Pop, 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 pop. Don't you, ain't going to be messing with me. Get up in the church. You got a problem with me? Oh, no, man, it's all good. Rottweiler, social media, Chihuahua in person.
That's it.
Whispering. Saying all this stuff on your page. And on your whatever you call them things. Blogs or whatever. Spotify. No, that's the wrong one. last time we were here, y'all tell me about Spotify. I just figured I'd just let you know I remember the word. Whispering, Zeke, listen. You stop laughing at me and tell you something. I know where you live. Whispering's easy to do. You ever whispered about somebody before? Everybody say yes. Were you wrong? Everybody say, I was wrong. Do you want somebody whispering about you? What's the best way to combat whispering? Think about how you feel when it's done about you. I mean, the best way to combat it is to not do it because God says so. But if you want a little logical twist to it, how do you feel when you find out somebody that's another Christian like you are was saying stuff about you that they would have never said if you were there? Here I go again. And nothing wrong with it as long as it's true. It was too small. It didn't match. The song did sound bad. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
That doesn't mean you needed to say it.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right, Pastor. Amen.
Sometimes it's best to keep the truth to yourself.
You're right.
I've been in places where Tyreek talked about, he's Tyreek talked about a lot of things. But anyway, Tyreek talked about he was back in a black church, whatever. I've been in places where I was the only one. And other people in places where they're the only one. You know, I didn't need anybody to walk up to me and tell me, you are black. It was true. But the truth doesn't always have to be said. Some of us have bigger noses. Some of us have bigger stomachs. Some of us have, that's your business. But anyway, it doesn't always have to be said. And sometimes whispering is so calculated that it's timed. I mean, sometimes Christian folk can't even let the door close good. Before they start in whispering. Well, let's all think about this. Paul said, this stuff scares me. I'm almost finished. What's after whispering? Everybody go like this. That's getting the big head. Oh, I'm doing something now. They like my singing. How you know? Because after I finish, I go around and ask all of them. You know what that's called? Baiting for compliments. Did you like that song I sang? Withholding nothing? He said, I did not say that. Here's the dichotomy of the work of God. You can't be a good Christian and do nothing for God. But the opposite end of that is the more you do for God, the more the flesh wants to take the credit.
That's it.
And I start feeling good about myself. Oh, yeah. This is one of the favorite ones they like to hear. Pastor Mike, you got me singing that song soon? Because they're asking me for it every week.
Come on.
Well, I shall preach that message there. By the way, here's a good time to showcase your swelling. Sunday night testimony. Don't throw nothing at me. We got a security team in here. Sunday night testimony is not a time for you to brag on you. I said it's not a time for you to brag on you. Because in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's time for you to brag on Jesus. Amen. I did, I went, I completed, I was responsible for. I need to sit down. We are blessed to be able to be used by God. I'm talking about from the pastor on down. And I constantly have to remind me who I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. Hey, listen, nobody in this building is in church more than I am. I'm in churches all over the place, and I'm the guest speaker, and they listen to. I told the Lord a long time ago, one of the things I want to do is never believe introductions. They start saying all these wonderful things, wonderful. You start listening to them. You know what? I'm they talking about me? Well. Say it again. Send a copy of it to my wife. No. For long. It wouldn't kill you when you get complimented to say, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. By the way, there's nothing wrong with liking somebody complimenting you. I mean, sometimes you got so grossly weird sounding Christians. Oh, no, I would never enjoy being complimented. Who are you fooling? Go on somewhere now with that old lying Christianity. Everybody likes to be complimented. But just remember where you got your talent from. And who let you work for him? I get to be a mouthpiece for Jesus. Swelling, be careful. Next one. Tumults. Anybody know what that is? It is to be perplexed or in a state of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. If there's anything I don't like, it's confusion. And some Christians are breeders of confusion. I mean, something could be just as simple and organized and clear, and you let somebody bring that drama. And next thing you got somebody over here mad with somebody over here, and somebody here mad with somebody over here, and you got five different stories because Sister So-and-so came bringing her tumults. I'm about to finish. That's the last one, right? For I fear. And by the way, next verse, people have fallen into sin and they're engaged in their fornication and lasciviousness. Hey, let me tell you something. These interpersonal conflicts that are not resolved lead to more sin. Because when you're not right with other people, you're not right with God. And when you're not right with God, you're capable of doing anything. I'm just telling you, I don't know what you got going on. I just know that there's no spiritual flow in your Christian life when you got all this ought, beef, and offense with other people. You need to deal with it. Paul said, I faced a whole lot of stuff. It's God's job to fight my battles when I'm living for him. It's my job to work out my offenses while I'm living for him. Did somebody hear me? It's God's job to fight my battles when I'm living for him. It's my job to work out and resolve the offenses while I'm living for him. They will come. But you can't sit around and do nothing about it. Because Paul said when that stuff gets in the church, it destroys the church. Not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Father, thank you. and help all of us, me included, to work on these things. We don't ever want to be a contributor to the destruction of your body. You're too good of a God for that. Bless now the invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.